And now it's time for this.
Sport
on the Claire Byrne Show
with Visa, official payment partner of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Everything's a tap in with Visa.
So now we're going to look ahead to all of the weekend sporting action, and Off the Ball's Colm Buhig is here, and we have to talk about the senior hurling semi-finals first. So we've Galway Cork and Limerick Clare. Limerick Clare is the one that intrigues me, just because I think everybody expects Limerick to win that match, and I don't know if it's as much of a foregone conclusion as you might think.
Absolutely. Shane O'Donnell will have something to say about that, Clare. The living legend that plays for Clare announced yesterday, actually, among many duties, he spoke with our own Will O'Callaghan and Off the Ball, that he's going to retire from intercounty hurling after this year's championship. So that could be as soon as Sunday evening.
I was surprised at his timing on that.
Really surprised. We actually talked about that on this morning's Off the Ball breakfast as well, about is that strategic? Is that just by chance he was speaking to the media and felt he wanted to say it? Look, Shane, for people who know Shane O'Donnell, and a lot of hurling fans will, is that, like, he's an extraordinary individual who was out studying in America and Harvard and wants to go into space and all that, has these incredible ambitions, unbelievably intelligent person, has many strings to his bow, also happens to be a generational hurler. So there's a lot goes on in Shane O'Donnell's life, but what he wants, I'd say, more than anything right now in this moment in time, is to beat Limerick in the semi-final this weekend, so that he has one more match for Clare, which will be the All-Ireland final against Galway or Cork. It's a great storyline, and as you say, it's very surprising that he's announced it 2 days before.
Yeah.
Or 3 days before the semi-final.
I was surprised at that, but maybe it is strategic. I don't know. I couldn't figure it out. I was also interested to hear what he had to say about those tackles, the way he described them. When you're coming up off the ground with a rising ball, you can't see what's going on, and then the tackle comes in. He wants them just clamped down on from the top, that it shouldn't be the responsibility of the referees, right?
They're so dangerous, and people who have seen the All-Ireland quarter-final against Dublin would have seen that with the Clare match, which that was the talking point emanating from that, is these kind of, like, with unintentionally vicious collisions. Now, you could be subjective and say, well, there is a bit of intention to be aggressive and all that. Either way, whatever the intention of it is, it's still brutal to the person who's on the receiving end. And Shane O'Donnell knows about this. It was in 2021 he got a pretty brutal concussion. So he's very cognizant of the long-term effects, of course, of this. Like, you know, like just to cross the sport for a second, like the NFL, you know, how many, you hear so many stories of people having trouble with concussion in retirement from the hits that they get. They wear helmets, but that protects you to a degree. I'm not saying it's like an epidemic like that at all in hurling, but you want to avoid a scenario where that becomes a problem. And like, essentially, like, you have to remember, everyone knows this, of course, but you still have to remind yourself, these are amateur people who have jobs and lives outside of it. They don't get paid for the privilege of playing for their county, but it's still as brutal as it is for professional sport.
So what do you reckon is going to happen in this game between these two teams?
I think we're going to see an All-Ireland final between Cork and Limerick. But I don't know if it's going to be that straightforward, right? So tomorrow, Cork against Galway. Cork haven't beaten Galway in the championship since 2008. Played each other five times. Most recent was 2022, when Galway knocked them out in the quarterfinal. And between Clare and Limerick, interesting, right, in the five All-Irelands that Limerick won under John Kiely, this is memory serve stuff now, Clare. I don't think they have beaten Clare in one of those finals. They never played Clare in an All-Ireland final. So they know about it beforehand, and this is obviously a semi-final. I could see them do it, and I could see Cork do it. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, and I hope it will be competitive, because hurling needs it, because those quarterfinals are really poor. Like, Clare beat Dublin convincingly,
yes,
and Cork hammered Offaly at a time when Gaelic football is enthralling. You don't know who's going to win, and like, three of the four provincial winners in Gaelic football this year haven't made it to the last, was eight of the football championship. Whereas in hurling, it's like, if it wasn't for Cork and Limerick, hurling would be in serious bother, but it kind of already is anyway. Like, Limerick went 4 weeks without playing after winning the Munster final. You propel yourself straight to the semi-final. I wouldn't look too far beyond Galway, though. They can upset Cork here for sure this weekend. The only thing is, you would say about Galway, have they even been threatened this year in the Leinster Championship? Not really. They played a really poor Kilkenny side. They weren't spectacular against Wicklow. They did okay against Wexford and Dublin. So this is a big step up for them. Clare, there's a last dance vibe to Clare, and not just because of this Shane O'Donnell announcement.
There's a raft of them in that team, isn't there, who are around the same age, same level of experience.
So you're into the 30s.
Who could also say we're done.
Yeah, so we had, say, a five-time All-Ireland winner and All-Star Seamus Flanagan on Off the Ball Breakfast this morning. Obviously staunchly in favour of Limerick here. And there's a bit of fear about him when it comes to Clare, because Clare, on their best day, can rattle you. They can do damage.
Mm-hmm. And if you're on a last dance, if your head is in a place where this is it now, I'm gone after this.
Like, I don't think a big build-up in a last dance works if you have like 6 months to go. I think it needs to be an adrenaline-fueled sprint of a last dance. Shane O'Donnell would have known he's going to step away, but he's only just announced it. So there is like, well, it's now or nothing.
Mm.
So maybe there's a bit of emotionality to that. And you can kind of... you can kind of pounce on that vulnerability of the Clare lads. If it's this is going to be my last chance to do it, and then Limerick can be more strategic, or Clare can completely overwhelm Limerick with their passion. But Limerick are playing really well this year. They've come back because they haven't won it the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very intriguing.
Fire in the belly there too. Okay, so hopefully that'll be a good weekend from a hurling perspective. What's going on in the World Cup? Well, listen, we're in the last 32 games are this evening, so all the dross is gone, right?
Yeah.
All the dross is gone. That's a terrible way to dismiss it. But Jesus, it went on so long, didn't it? The opening stage.
It did, yeah.
Group stages. Done with it already.
Yeah, there's like 267 teams in this World Cup or whatever it is, and there's a million games. But now we're getting there, like you say, perfectly. Like, this is the shame of it now, right? You said your son tried to stay up for a couple of games.
He threatened,
didn't he?
But he wouldn't ever be able to.
There was
to stay
a threat to it.
Night.
He never delivered, right?
Never delivered.
I don't know if he stayed up. Portugal, Croatia was midnight or overnight. This is a great match, by the way.
Mm.
Cristiano Ronaldo scored a penalty. But he got taken off, Claire. So the big debate about Ronaldo and his manager, Roberto Martinez, would he take him off? He actually did. He subbed them off towards the end of a few minutes ago. And Portugal won the game. There's a bit of controversy that Croatia maybe should have had a goal that was allowed. It was disallowed in the end. Spain beat Austria comfortably. Switzerland beat Algeria. Today, the first game, you might skip it if you want, if you don't have allegiance to either of these countries, 7 o'clock this evening, Australia versus Egypt.
Yeah, probably won't be there for that.
11 p.m. though. The whole nation will be tuning into this if you can stay up. It's Argentina
and Cape
against Pico Lopez's Cape Verde.
Messi Argentina against one
Pico.
Man.
Yeah, Messi against Pico is going to be extraordinary. 11 p.m. tonight. And then if you're really adrenaline fueled and you have stamina about you, 2:30 tomorrow morning, if you want to call it that, Colombia versus Ghana.
Yeah, won't so be there for that either. But if you do stay up, you might as well stay up through to 5, because isn't Rashida Adeleke running in the early hours as well?
So she's back in her 400 metre action for the first time in a year, I think it is.
Brilliant.
You know,
can't wait.
Adeleke, a superstar who we don't see enough of.
She's a
you know
superstar.
What I mean? There's an aura about Rashida Adeleke, which is this, you know, a typical Irish sports star would be kind of this humility of like, I'm reluctantly a star. And while Rashida Adeleke possesses the humility, she can't help but present herself as a star.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't see enough of her. So thankfully she's back in action.
Yeah, but she's a decent human. I like
how
she, you know, presents herself as well. She's a really likable character. But you're right, she has that self-belief and she doesn't hide it. It's
yeah, great. I don't think she can help being a role model, put it that way.
Mm.
I think kids coming up adore her and they want to start running because of her. And what better legacy is there to have than that? And I say legacy like she's about to retire. She's this young person who could go on for years and years. And as I said, the only shame was like an injury ravaged last 12 months. So delighted to see her back in action today.
Okay, but this is an important one, isn't it? Overnight, because it's getting her back onto the European stage for a start.
Yeah, this is in Oregon, yeah. So she'll be looking, like everything that she's thinking of right now is LA 28. All of it. This is about the next Olympics. And like, remember when the nation's heart was nearly broken, like because of what happened in Paris, when there was a number of fourth place finishes and we nearly got on the podium. But like Adeleke straight away afterwards, she's clearly crestfallen, but additionally saying, now this is the start of something, but it's only the start of something if you continue it from there on. And there's been a stumbling block. So this is hopefully, you and I sitting here today, Claire, is the first day of the preparation properly for LA. In 2 years' time.
Do you know what? You're reminding me of Ciara McGeehan now talking about Paris and talking about LA. You know, we had her in here and she's been promoting her book. It's a great book. It's such a good read.
Yeah.
It's so well written with Cliona Foley as well. It's just that thing of going to an Olympic Games, prepping your whole life for it, and then injury stopping you from even walking out onto the track. Nightmare.
It's so tantalizing, Olympics, isn't it? It's 3 3/4 years on your own without anyone looking. And then when everyone's looking, you have to perform right then and there. And sometimes you're not even available to do so.
Yeah.
It's a gamble of
huge
your life's commitment.
It is huge. And
but the payoff is incredible.
The payoff is incredible. But when it doesn't work out, you've got to learn how to deal with that. And I don't know how you do it.
There's a great documentary in that. And then following those people where it doesn't work out for them for whatever reason.
Because Ciara's family were there. Mm-hmm. They'd all spent loads of money, you know, going over to Paris and they had their accommodation. So she decided, oh, let's make a holiday out of this afterwards and go and see the Eiffel Tower. And she's wandering around Paris going, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be anywhere. It's just, I want to be in a room on my own, not looking at anybody. And you can understand that, you know?
Yeah, totally.
But I don't know what the right answer to that is. Should you just hide yourself away or should you try and carry on?
There might be a loneliness in being in that position because you can relate to so few people, or more to the point, they can't relate to you and what you're going through. Mm-hmm. It could be a symbol of something else in life that someone's going through, but it's never specifically that.
Yeah. But often, you know, there's so many life experiences that are like that, you know, where you can find somebody who's going through the exact
same
thing.
No, I heard that interview was incredible. Like, he's like, if she wasn't already inspiring enough, and then this story in the last year of her life.
Again, like Rashida, she's just a decent human as well.
Totally.
Now, we better talk about the rugby before we finish. So Ireland taking on Australia tomorrow morning. Matt Williams in the Irish Times saying that Australia see this as being the unofficial fourth test. So are they adding more weight to this than maybe Ireland are, or are we both taking it really seriously?
That's a good question. I'd say it's additionally weightful for both countries because this is the inaugural Nations Championship. It's starting tomorrow. And it's actually quite good. Like, it's Northern Hemisphere versus Southern Hemisphere. Three games this month and three games in November. We'll all join up and then there'll be a finals weekend after this. On the Australian side of things, it's the end of the Joe Schmidt era now. These are the last three games before he parts company with Australia. And they were in a dreadful run at the end of last year after that Lions tour. The Lions tour was really competitive and everybody dismissed it beforehand because rugby union in Australia is really, really struggling for attention against Aussie rules and rugby league. Like, Australia won the World Cup back in 99, got to the final in 03, and it peaked around then rugby union. For the last 20 odd years, rugby union has played second fiddle to other sports in Australia. So that's the real struggle, is to get eyeballs on. Now, as far as I'm aware, this is a 45,000-seater stadium in Sydney for the Ireland-Australia game, which is 10 past 11 tomorrow morning, Irish time. That's sold out. Now, of course, there's loads of Irish living over there, so that'll be a great atmosphere. So Joe Schmidt will want to go out in a high. And I saw that article by Matt Williams because he was on with us during the week about the fourth test. Yeah, they probably could use that as motivation. James Lowe is the big news about Ireland, of course, because he's gone now and Andy Farrell spoke about him.
All right, Colm, thanks so much. Colm Buhig there from Off the Ball, coming to a sudden end because we have to go to the news. That's all your weekend sports. Stay tuned to Off the Ball over the course of the weekend.